Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, your host, and thanking you for tuning in again once more today. Remember, we simply have 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and we do that without any manipulation because we don't try to con people. We're not soliciting money from you. We're not asking you to join anything. We simply have some information. Information that may help you verify as well as identify God's plan for your life. And if you're willing to act on that information, if you can orient and adjust, then you'll be a lot better off for it, I promise you. Remember, God gave us two ends, one to sit with and one to think with, and success in life depends on which one you use. Heads, you'll win. Tails, you'll lose. So let's keep that in mind as we dive into what we want to cover today. Simply put, we want to talk about the divine advantages that we have available to us. The divine advantages that we have available to us. I just got back from a Texas Wounded Warrior Foundation meeting in New Brunswick, Texas last week. And this is the same material that I presented to those wounded warriors that attended that event. It's an event we do twice a year for this particular group, and it's a great opportunity to talk to the men and women who serve in our country. So, you know, America has had an all-volunteer army, military, for a while now. We're not doing the draft anymore. And men and women such as those that I met freely chose to serve their country. And non-serving Americans may not even notice or care about their sacrifice or what they're doing until they need them. But the bottom line is that without a strong military, we could not survive as a free nation. Those men and women that I spoke to made a choice, and the benefits and rewards of their choice could be great, and the cost and the sacrifice could be even greater, as it was in some cases. But in the end, they can say with pride, I did my duty to the best of my ability. Well, like them, there are many choices in life that we have to make. And God equips each one of us with a brain and the ability to choose. We have volition, the free will he gave us, volition. He did not make us into little bitty automatons that run around doing his bidding. He gave us free will. And we have choices to make, and we use logic. Sometimes we use reason, sometimes we use faith and make those choices. But in the end, every one of us, myself included, we are responsible for our decisions that we make. And three things you need to remember about those decisions. One, bad decisions limit all future options. And two, stupid decisions get people hurt. And then three, trusting your instinct or your impulse in a major decision is a sure way for you to mess up. Again, God gave you two ends, one to sit with, one to think with, and you must learn to use the head part. Heads you win, tails you lose. So on this radio show, I might ask you to make another choice today. Not one that would require you to join up, fess up, give up, but one that might require you to act on faith and consider the opportunity and the consequences. You see, not all Americans are willing to serve their country in military service, and not all humans are willing to serve their gods. Each one of us must make a personal choice. And that's where our volition comes into play. You know, you and I have met people born with a silver spoon in their mouth. It gives them an advantage in a social standing, and having an advantage in life is one way unqualified people get ahead. Yes, they do. But I can tell you on this show how to have a divine advantage. A divine advantage in life that will give you discernment and understanding in all of your endeavors. Because that's what life requires. It requires wisdom. And wisdom is none other than discernment and insight. And if we don't have discernment, if we don't have insight, we get taken advantage of by forces greater than our own capabilities to discern. So wisdom is a critical component in your life if you're going to have to take advantage of the divine advantage God gives you. But here is the catcher. Wisdom is not inherited from your parents. It must be acquired in your own soul. And it can be divine wisdom, which comes from the Word of God. It could be relative wisdom, which comes from what some joker thinks should be or should not be the truth. But without some type of resource, none of us would even make it through the week, much less through life. And this is where God offers us His divine resources. He offers His divine resources to each one of us. And if you want to know why, His motivation to do this is pretty simple. He loves you. Maybe you've never heard anybody say that to you, but God loves you. I know I've been a jerk and someone said God loved me. It was shocking. I mean, how could God love me? I'm an idiot. Look at the stupid things I've done. But He loves you. I promise you. And the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's love personified. When He sent His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the ultimate penalty for our sin so we wouldn't have to pay it. That's true love. What greater love does a man have than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, the Bible says, and the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. That's why He went to the cross, to pay for your sin. What a wonderful divine advantage do we have there. He loves us. You know, and the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:2, a wise man's heart directs him to the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him to the left. Now, this is not a political statement, as you know about lefters and righters and all of that sort of stuff, but this is talking about your choice. Sometimes you go to the left and sometimes you go to the right. And to the left would be the my way highway, the relative wisdom way, not using God's divine wisdom and going thy way highway. So you can make some pretty dumb decisions like I've done in your life. You can't afford to do that. You only got a little bit of time. You can't buy more time. And you don't want to come to the end of your life and look back and like a vapor trail across the sky, seeing it disappear from history. Because I can assure you, nobody's going to stand around and worry about where you went when the Lord brings you home. But you don't want to go home with regret, and you don't want to go home ashamed. You want to go home having done a good job. Your choice. It's up to you. So these divine resources that I'm speaking of to you, they start with, first of all, the free gift of salvation. And that's a win-win situation. It doesn't cost you anything, but it does require you wanting to know the truth. You want to know His love and His forgiveness, and it requires that you have the faith to trust Him. If you want to take advantage of the divine resource of forgiveness of sin, you must have a desire to know His love and forgiveness and the faith to trust Him, as I said. He offered this forgiveness freely since we are His creation. And there are no strings attached because the Bible clearly says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's a legitimate question to be saved from what? I mean, sure. Ecclesiastes 1:4 said a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. When I'm saying that you're going to pass away someday, I'm going to pass away someday, but the earth will continue until God says that's it. So we all have our niche, our time in history. And saved from what? What are we saved from if we said we're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? We are saved from the lake of fire. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that death, the judgment. The judgment is described in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, and this is not an allusion, this is literal. Where John wrote, then I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great, and the small, standing before the throne of God, and the books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now listen carefully as I explain this to you. When you're born, your name is put in the Lamb's book of life. If you die without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is blotted out and you have died the first death. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're never said to be dead. You're asleep in Christ. So you have to be born twice or you're going to die twice. This is the way it goes. This is the way God made it. So here we have people that did not believe in Jesus Christ. They're unbelievers. And so since their name is not in the book of life, they're going to be given an opportunity by the justice of God to present their case of why they should be allowed to come into heaven because of their deeds, their good deeds. They were good. But remember, the Bible says there are none that are good, no, not even one. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag before God. Remember that. So here they are, standing up and saying, well, what about this and what about that? And look what I did. I gave to the church and I tithed and I sang in the choir. I helped little old ladies across the street. I bought Girl Scout cookies. Didn't work. That's not salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. He that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, John says. And so when their name is not in the book of life, then the various books of their good deeds are opened, and they are judged from that, and they are found lacking. They cannot equal the righteousness of God. The only way you can have eternity with God is to be equally righteous. Now listen to what the Bible says. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so we may be made the righteousness of God through him. Through Christ, and receiving him as our Savior, his righteousness is imputed to us, and we have equal righteousness with God because we are in Christ Jesus. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Thus, God can bless you and welcome you into the royal family by faith. And so, if their name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they are thrown into the lake of fire. Again, verse 15, Revelation 20. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, that's the ones who rejected Christ, they're thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I don't know if you got this, but those in Hades were brought out of Hades and judged. Those in hell were brought out of hell and judged and then thrown into the lake of fire. Think about that. You die, apart from Jesus Christ, you go to hell. And you await this final judgment. And then you're brought up before the great white throne, and your name's not in the Lamb's book of life, and your production doesn't equal God's righteousness, so then you're thrown into the lake of fire, where Satan and the fallen angels will already be. That doesn't sound very inviting, does it? So when I say saved from what, you're saved from this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved or delivered from this judgment. You won't be there. And that's a marvelous thing. That's a divine advantage. This judgment is not because anyone was bad or anybody misbehaved, because what it's about is they were born with Adam's original sin imputed to them. Romans 5:12 just says, through one man sin entered into the world, and then death by sin. And now death spreads to all because all have sinned. And so the first divine advantage is to have our sins forgiven. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Problem is solved. A free gift from God. In Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, we find in the temple, a Pharisee praying, and he's not really praying, he's braying, B-R-A-Y, like a jackass would bray. He's patting himself on the back and telling God what a great guy he is, how he fasts and how he does this and how he does that, and hoping that he's impressing God with all of his good deeds. And then it talks about the publican who came in and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that's the man that went to heaven right there, the one who asked for forgiveness. Problem solved. A free gift from God. How do I know it's a free gift? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a difference that is. Divine advantage number one, salvation. I am delivered from my sin and the penalty of my sin. I am set free from the slave market of sin. I'm no longer under control of my sin nature. Now, God the Holy Spirit lives in me and I can make a choice. I can choose to live in fellowship with God, or I can choose to let my sin nature dominate me and control me, and even as a Christian, live in sin. And that won't get you very far because the Bible says in Hebrews 12:6 that God chastens those that he loves and judges and disciplines those that he loves. So when you or I, when we get into sin, we don't use problem-solving device number one, the rebound technique. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, purify us from all of our wrongdoing. If we don't do that, then we set ourselves up for divine discipline because God loves us. Why does he discipline you? He doesn't want you to self-destruct. You have the ability to destroy your life with an acquired flaw. You can acquire flaws that will destroy you, and you will make constantly bad decisions until eventually you box yourself in and you get frustrated and you deliberately choose to maybe end it all because you have no hope and no life. God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to have a wonderful, profitable, wonderful life in Christ. And the divine advantage of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior is wonderful. But there's a second advantage, too. You see, the Bible says anyone who receives Christ as Savior, they soon learn, like I learned, that we still possess the ability to sin. We still fail from time to time, sometimes too much. And we have to learn this. The Bible says God recognizes this and makes a provision for our failure. Now, let's answer this question. What exactly is sin? Well, it comes in three ways that I'm aware of. Something you think. You can commit a sin in your brain. You can sin seated in the pulpit at church or seated in the pew at church. If you have mental attitude sin of anger and bitterness, resentfulness, implacability, hostility, that's a sin. It's a mental attitude sin. Lust is a mental attitude sin. Jealousy, hatred, is a mental attitude sin. Well, there are also sins of the tongue. Gossip and slander, maligning, criticizing, backbiting. These are sins of the tongue. And then there are the overt sins like drunkenness and fornicating and stealing and murder. These are sins as well. Can a Christian commit murder? You better believe he can. Look at David in 2 Samuel 16. He had Uriah the Hittite murdered, and he committed adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Sure, Christians can do some pretty goofy, stupid things when we get out of fellowship with God. If we're sinning, if we're committing personal sin, we are breaking fellowship with God, we are quenching the Holy Spirit, we are grieving the Holy Spirit, and we set ourselves up for divine discipline. But if we will recognize the sin and rebound the sin, then we can be restored to fellowship, put back in fellowship. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the secret to the Christian life, and nobody ever told me that. Here I was, a new Christian, a year and a half into my Christian life, not knowing what to do, reading the Bible, going to different Bible studies, going to different churches, going around in a circle. I had the gospel right. I understood what it meant to be saved, but I did not understand the mechanics to the Christian life. you must come to realize there are mechanics. And by that, I mean a right thing has to be done in a right way, or it is wrong. A right thing done in a wrong way, wrong. A wrong thing done in a wrong way, wrong. A right thing done in a right way, well, that's right. There are mechanics. And if you intend to serve God, you must do it through the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's why Ephesians 5:18 gives you the mandate, be filled with the Spirit. You cannot be Spirit-filled with sin in your life. Sin quenches the Holy Spirit. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And you must admit the sin, confess the sin, and then God the Father is faithful and just to forgive you. This doesn't mean that you're going to stay filled with the Spirit 24 hours a day, because you may sin at 8 o'clock, you may confess that sin at 8:05, and you may sin again at 9 o'clock, and you'll have to confess the sin again. On a particularly bad day, you may have to confess your sin 8 or 10 or 12 times. But whatever you do, don't wait until you go to bed at night to do it. Don't look back during the day and say, oh, Lord, this morning I sinned at 8:02 and now it's 10 p.m. at night. Listen, if you sin at 8:02 a.m. in the morning, you quench the Holy Spirit at 8:02 a.m. in the morning. And thus you're going to go through your life all day long without the filling of the Holy Spirit, without the power of God in your life. And then you're going to go to bed at night and ask Him to cleanse you and fill you so you can sleep good. You need to keep up with your sin. When you're aware of it, name it immediately. Immediately. And then He's faithful and He's just to forgive us. You know, some people think that when they sin, God will disown them. And that's not true. The Bible is very clear in Luke 15 about the prodigal son and how the prodigal son wandered away from home, wasted his money on riotous living, and got under divine discipline, and finally came to his senses and went home and confessed his sin to his father. And his father took him back freely. The father loved him and killed the fatted calf and put a ring on his finger. He was still his son. Still his son. The father didn't go chase him down, because the father knew he's going to have to learn it the hard way. And that's the way some people are. I'm probably that way. I mean, you can learn the easy way or you can learn the hard way. Are you one of those people that has to learn the hard way? Even though you know you shouldn't do something, you're going to do it anyhow just to see if you can get away with it. You're not going to get away with it, I promise you. So, the divine advantage of the filling of the Holy Spirit guarantees you the power of God in your life. It guarantees you the rewards of God in eternity. It guarantees you the ability to replicate the life of Christ. It guarantees you complete happiness in time and in eternity, but only through the filling of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit use? He uses Bible doctrine. He uses the Word of God. So as you learn the Word of God in your local church under your pastor, and you apply to your life the principles and the precepts that he teaches and you learn, then you begin to replicate the life of Christ. And this brings God much glory. That's the objective of the Christian life. So, the divine advantage of number three. Number one, salvation. Number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now number three, the secret to keep from becoming a battlefield casualty in the spiritual life is to refit when you fail and rearm when you need it. And that's the local church, where you study and grow under a real qualified pastor. People ask me, they write to me and say, do you know if there's a local church in my area? And a lot of times I may know or I may not know, but I know where you can get information. I know where you can get DVDs and MP3s and study just like I do every morning. You can sit down with a Bible and a notebook and a cup of coffee and away you go. Turn it on and study, take notes, learn, apply into your life. That's the way I've kept up with my pastor for years, since I don't live in the same town. But I get the information and I study it and I write it down and I review it and I apply it into my life. I refit every morning, rearm my life every morning. And that's the job of the pastor, to rearm you for your daily battles in life. And he does that by teaching you God's amazing problem-solving devices. What that does is change the way you think. The Bible says you have to change the way you think. Romans 12:3. Stop thinking of self in terms of arrogance, beyond what you should, but think in terms of sanity, as God has assigned to every one of us a different way of thinking from His Word. That's an attitude adjustment. An attitude adjustment is renovating my thinking, or simply learning to think like Christ thought. Philippians 2:5 says it, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." And the key to understanding that is that the Lord Jesus Christ acted from the motivation of humility. He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, the Bible says. He never reacted to bitterness. He never reacted to unfair circumstances. Our Lord Jesus Christ never lost his temper, never did anything foolish. And you can live the same way if you will renovate your thinking by learning the Word of God, learning divine viewpoint. Beginning to operate on divine viewpoint will give you the resiliency in your life with this new mindset to keep pressing on, to keep using the divine advantage of wisdom, insight, discernment, and knowledge from the Word of God. Because the Bible clearly says in Luke 11:27-28, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's voice and who keep it. Our God is looking for a few good men and women. The question is, will you be one of them? Will you take these divine advantages, salvation, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the ability to renovate your thinking and think in a new way? Will you take advantage of this, and will you glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum in your life on a daily basis? That's my prayer. I hope you'll continue listening, and I hope you'll come back next week. Same time, same place. Until then, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It'll be a time of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and no manipulation, no con games, not soliciting money, not asking you to join anything. This radio show has been on the air for over 10 years now, and we simply want to teach you some information. Information that hopefully will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life, and if you can do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's really up to you. But my job is to be accurate, to get it correct, not to appeal to your emotions, not to get you fired up, not to solicit anything, but give you information. We believe God's in it, God pays for it, and thus we're here every Sunday morning, same time, same station in your area. What an honor it is to hear from you. I get a good many emails from some of you, and some of you will even call us on our 800 number. You can locate that through our website, rickhughesministries.org. But if you call and order anything, be sure to speak slowly and leave a message if we don't get the phone. But you can always contact us through our website, rickhughesministries.org, and we can provide you with past Flatline shows. We do podcast this show now. It is available on Spotify and other podcast networks. Spotify is one particularly. You can go to Spotify and download The Flatline and see the show, hear the show right there. Okay, so a lot to talk about. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of our show. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragement. I love hearing from you. Love hearing the emails that come in from some of you. And if the show doesn't play in your area, be sure to let us know. Sometimes we have problems with stations that fail to play the show, even though we contract with them to play it promptly and on time. They have glitches, and they forget, and they make mistakes. So let us know if it doesn't play, okay? All right, today we're going to jump into a very unique study that I think you'll enjoy. Just remember that God gave you two ends. Remember this. One of those ends you sit with and one of those ends you think with. And success in your life will depend on which one you use. Heads, you'll win, and tails, you'll lose. This show is about renovating your thinking, changing the way you think. Not thinking in terms of human viewpoint, but thinking in terms of divine viewpoint. That's why the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Learning to think like he thought requires that we learn the scriptures. And that's why Proverbs 2, 10 and 11 says, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul, then discretion and understanding will guard and protect you." It's there. It's for you. It's God's plan for you. But the Bible clearly says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So you're going to have to learn it. It's not going to jump off the pages into your mind. But if you spend time learning the word of God and applying what you learn into your life, then you can have the most phenomenal lifestyle as you replicate the thinking of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Yes, you are to think like he thought, not in terms of human viewpoint, but in terms of divine viewpoint, God's plan. So now, our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated something to us that we all must understand. He demonstrated his volition to obey the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity, in one body forever. And that God-man is in heaven today, seated at the right hand of the Father. You know that. But he had volition. He could have decided not to do anything. He could have decided to sin, but he did not. He was the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish, the only one capable of satisfying the justice of God. But he had volition. We find volition in the Bible everywhere, beginning with Adam and Eve, when God said, "You can have anything in this garden, but don't eat of the tree right over there. Don't eat from that tree." And, of course, that got misunderstood when Eve said, "We're not even to touch it." But the prohibition was there, and man's volition responded negatively. Man's volition said, "No, I will. You have volition, and I have volition." We are a product of what we choose. And we can choose to sin, and we can choose not to sin. What you choose oftentimes is based on what you think. And if what you think is going along with your emotions, then you may be out of control, emotionally out of control. Emotionally out of control means you're going to do something very stupid if you're emotionally out of control. And remember, bad decisions limit future options, and stupid decisions get people hurt. And so you have to make a decision, and you don't make decisions based on emotions. You make decisions based on what you think, because the mind responds, the emotions just react. Nothing wrong with emotions. They are wonderful. But if you're going to use a volitional decision, you must base it on truth or fact, not what you feel like you should do. So volition, quote, under the law of volitional responsibility, and that's the name of this study, volitional responsibility. This is number 742 hours, 742 shows. If you figure that one up, and there's 52 in a year, you'll figure how long we've been doing this. 742 show, volition, under the law of volitional responsibility. Listen carefully, here it comes. Self-induced misery is created by your own soul's volition. In other words, you have the potential to make yourself miserable. By making a stupid decision, you can make other people miserable. And responsibility is defined in the Webster's Dictionary as the quality or the state of being responsible, such as a moral responsibility, legal responsibility, mental accountability, reliability, trustworthiness, responsible behavior, and it's usually same accountability. And the concept is that God holds each one of us responsible for every decision that we make. We are responsible. You can't blame a crummy life on crummy parents. That doesn't work that way. You can't say, "The reason my life is so bad is I had bad parents." A lot of us had bad parents. Heck, I don't even know who my father was. The only thing that delivered me from a crummy life is me accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, getting under the ministry of a great pastor who taught me the Word of God, and then believing what I heard and applying it into my life to the best of my ability, which doesn't mean I never sin. It doesn't mean that at all. But like you, I had to learn how to rebound my sin and confess my sin. And then God was always faithful and just to forgive me, and He does you too. But with this volitional responsibility, what I'm talking about is each one of us are under the law of volitional responsibility. And under the law of volitional responsibility, we have to accept the consequences of our bad decisions. So we don't have anybody to blame, nobody but ourselves. If you point the finger at somebody and say it's his fault, remember, there's three fingers pointing back at you. Try it. Point a finger and see if there's not three coming back. You are responsible for your decisions and no one else. We are to blame for our misery in our life most of the time. Some circumstances are beyond our control, but 99% of our suffering comes from our mismanagement of our personal relationships, our mismanagement of our personal health, our mismanagement of personal finances. I mean, that's where most of it comes from. So the law of volitional responsibility applies in several categories. It applies in what you think. You have volition. You can think divine viewpoint, or you can think human viewpoint. That's up to you. You can go to Dear Abby for your answers about how you should interact socially, or you can go to the Word of God, which says stay away from fools and don't even talk to them because they're going to laugh at you. So, I mean, do what you want to do, but there it is. Who do you go to for advice? I would advise you to go to the book of Proverbs. If you'll go to the book of Proverbs and read the book of Proverbs a few times over, you will get some tremendous advice. But reading, oh, Dear Abby or Dear Lucille or Dear whoever it may be in your local newspaper, she's not going to give you any divine viewpoint. So you have to be in control of what you think. Think, not emote, not emotional. So also, you are responsible for your motivation. What motivated you to do this? Was it jealousy? Was it bitterness? Was it love? What was your motivation? You know, the Bible says, if we love God, we will obey God, and His mandates are not grievous. So the number one functional motivation for any Christian is love for God. That's our number one motivation. That's why we obey Him. If you love me, you will obey me, 1 John 5:3. And then we are responsible for every decision that we make. We make hundreds of decisions every day. I decided where to eat lunch today. I decided what sweater to put on this morning in a bitter cold southern morning with the wind blowing. We're responsible for decisions. And I bet you've made a lot of decisions today that you're responsible for. And we're responsible for the actions that come off of those decisions. We can't blame someone else. We did it. It was us. It was us. Yes, it was us. So we have to take responsibility for what we think, what motivates us, the decisions we make, and the actions we take. The end result is self-induced misery. If we have negative or wrong thinking, then we have self-imposed misery. Negative thinking includes all sorts of wrong mental attitudes, all forms of bitterness and jealousy and implacability and arrogance, all of these things that you react to in life by your thinking. You have a term, I won't use it on the radio, but you know the term for when you get angry, PO'd, people call it. You know what I'm talking about? That's you thinking. You are reacting, not responding. You can respond with forgiveness, and you can react with bitterness. And it all depends on what you're thinking and the motivation behind it. But negative thinking leads to negative deeds. So negative or wrong motivation is also self-imposed misery. You want to make yourself miserable? Think the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, be motivated to do the wrong thing, and you can get miserable. Self-imposed misery comes from wrong decisions in our volition. And this misery can happen long before we make any decision if we think wrong. You see, you have to think it before you do it. You are a product of what you think. Some people just emote and don't think about anything and let their emotions go off. This is a dangerous person who doesn't consider the results of his actions. But listen to what the Bible says, okay? So we get this: negative or wrong decisions are self-induced misery. That's where it comes from. Negative or wrong actions, now we're talking about what you do, not what you think. Negative or wrong actions are classified in two ways. You deliberately did something wrong, or you impulsively did something wrong. Deliberately, self-induced misery, and impulsively, which is usually self-gratification, and it brings self-induced misery as well. So, you deliberately disobeyed God, or you impulsively gratified yourself, and that caused you to have some misery. But let's look at some verses, in case we get confused here. Here's a few verses for you. Proverbs 22:8. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of God's wrath will be ready. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of God's wrath will be ready. Sowing wickedness is maligning. If you want to look at seven sins that God hates, Proverbs 6:16 and 17, they're all right there. Three of them are mental attitude sins, and three of them are sins of the tongue, and one of them's an overt sin called murder. You might be surprised, but slander, maligning, gossip, judging, this is sowing wickedness, and it reaps trouble. God doesn't need your help in judging anybody. God doesn't need your help in maligning, slandering, criticizing, backbiting. That is trouble in the making. And you are responsible for your decisions. So if you wind up miserable, if you wind up getting kicked out of some place because you couldn't keep your mouth shut, you did it. Galatians 6:7. Don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a person sows, this he will also reap. So don't listen to the liar. This is Satan. He's the master liar. He's been a liar, always a liar. Lord Jesus Christ identified him as a liar, and he will deceive you. He has deceptive abilities. And if you buy into the lie, you wind up mocking God. And you wind up being a fool, Romans chapter 1. God talks about in Romans chapter 1, 16, 17, 18, 19, people that are fools that mocked God, and God turned them over to their own desires because they believe the created one rather than the creator. Whatever a person sows, you will reap. You sow trouble, you're going to reap trouble. In Hosea 8:7, they who sow to the wind will reap the whirlwind. There's an illustration of a hurricane or a tornado, and we call it the cosmic vortex. Imagine spinning around the invisible zeitgeist, the spirit of the times, spinning around like a vortex, sucking people into it, people that believe the lie, and it just takes them down the road and dumps them out in the middle of nowhere, life's ruined, life's destroyed. They believe the lie. They believe the lie. The biggest lie is, I love you. That's the biggest lie you ever heard. Be careful when they tell you, I love you. Sometimes it's nothing but manipulation. They that sow to the wind are going to reap the whirlwind. Galatians 3:25, he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong that he has done, and there is no partiality with God. So God is not going to let one guy off and judge another guy. I don't care who you are, when you mess up, when you go against the Word of God, when you deliberately make a volitional decision that is negative to His Word, you are responsible for what happens. And he who does wrong will receive the consequences of that wrong. In Proverbs 25:16, if you find candy, eat just enough. Now, this is a good one since Halloween. If you find candy, eat just enough because too much of it will make you vomit. That's a bad decision, gorging yourself on sweets. And in 13:20, Proverbs, the one who walks with wise men will be wise, but whoever walks with a fool will suffer misery. It's very possible that you can make yourself miserable. You can have self-induced misery by hanging out with the fool. Who is the fool? It's the person that ignores the Word of God, a person that doesn't believe the Word of God, a person that turns his back on the Word of God. You must be careful who you hang out with, because the Bible clearly says that it will corrupt you if you hang out with the wrong people, because they'll influence the way you think. Once they influence the way you think, politically, socially, spiritually, you're dead in the water. You're a dead duck. And then they will dump you like used whatever. A lot of people don't love you. They don't care for you. They just want to use you. And you'll figure this out as you get older. I always tell young people when I'm talking to them, when you're 15, you're worried about what people think about you. And you get to be about 25, you don't give a rip what they think about you. And when you get to be about 65, you'll find out none of them ever thought about you anyhow. So keep that in mind. He who walks with wise men will be wise. My suggestion, stay away from fools. Fools that ignore the mandates of the Word of God. Fools that make light of the mandates of the Word of God. Fools that will destroy you and laugh about it. Stay away from them. A lot of suffering comes to Christians because they're confused and they lack biblical principles. They don't understand Bible doctrine. They don't understand in life. And if you're suffering from your own wrong decisions, I can make this clear now and get this straight. If you're suffering because of some stupid decision you made, no prayer in the world is going to make it go away. You're going to have to go to the solutions that are found in the Word of God or found in the Bible. Yep, you're going to have to go to that. You're going to have to go to Rebound, problem-solving device number one. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you're suffering from a bad decision and you want it to go away. Well, the first step is to Rebound, confess the sin to God. The second step is to forget it, because God forgets when He forgives. Now, Satan will bring it up to you over and over and over again to make you feel like a jerk, to make you feel like God doesn't love you, to make you feel like you're a loser. And if God was through with you, He'd bring you home. So like me, you and I both have made many bad decisions, and He hadn't taken us home yet. He will soon, I'm sure, but not yet. So when we fail, we rebound our sin, and we get up, and we don't look back. We move forward. Because many wrong decisions that people make can even result in mental illness. It can lead them to psychoses, neuroses, and sociopathic behavior. It happens because they can't deal with the guilt, or they can't deal with the mental attitude, jealousy, or the hatred, or the bitterness. You know, here's a little insight for you. We're all born with genetic handicaps. You know, we have parents. If you know your parents genetically, you know maybe what their flaws were, and we have genetic handicaps. For example, if your parents were alcoholics, you know you shouldn't drink, because you'll have a tendency to fall into the same trap. Genetics, and we look at that, and we say, okay, I'm not going to drink. My parents were alcoholics, so I'm not going to touch it. Well, we're born with genetic handicaps, genetic flaws, but we acquire environmental or volitional handicaps. How do we do that? Well, by putting things into our life that don't belong there. And this all adds up to the first cause of suffering in your life. So genetically, you have this tendency to go in a certain direction. But environmentally, you chose. One of them you inherited, the other one you chose. So a volitional handicap is you handicapping yourself by a sin that you deliberately chose to do. A genetic handicap is something that you were born with. Does that make sense? So many wrong decisions that we make from a position of weakness in our own life, you know, we're not in fellowship with God. We're not under the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're not listening to the Word of God. We're not thinking divine viewpoint. When we make decisions from a position of weakness, we're out there on our own. We're standing alone on an island. We don't have any wisdom. We don't have any knowledge. We don't have insight and discernment. Proverbs 10 and 11 talks about that. So you don't have that. You're in a position of weakness, and this results in even eventually mental illness. A lot of positions like that can. Yeah, it can absolutely ruin a person's life. It's acquired from being arrogant and being self-centered, where you make some stupid, selfish, self-righteous decision, and one decision leads to another decision, and the practice of making thousands and thousands of wrong decisions. So, under the law of volitional responsibility, you and I must accept the consequences for every bad decision that we make. That's why the Bible says the ones that he loves, he chastens and scourges with a whip, Hebrews 12. When we sin, the first issue is rebound. Get it out. Get rid of it. Name it to God. Because if you don't, then the hammer's going to fall. And maybe that's why you're suffering today. You've sinned and you haven't dealt with it before the Lord. You haven't confessed your sin to God. You haven't rebounded your sin. And you're miserable and you're getting whacked on the head every day. May I suggest you use problem-solving device number one, rebound your sin. Because the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then may I suggest you do number two, renovate your thinking. Stop thinking in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, Romans 12:3. Many of these bad decisions destroy people. So under the law of volitional responsibility, you and I must accept the consequences of our own stupid, bad, dumb decisions. Every human being must take responsibility for their decisions. And so we're not here to blame other people because we're miserable. We're not here to blame other people for our unhappiness and our suffering. We take full responsibility based on our own decisions. And that may be related to who we associated with, or what we did, or what our motives were, or what our functions in life were. So keep that in mind. We are responsible for our motives, our associations, our activities. And God holds you accountable. Many, many wrong decisions come from arrogance in your own soul. And so to protect us from being arrogant and destroying our lives, God gives us authority structure. Parents, pastors, coaches, bosses, forms of authority, police officers. And they are there to keep you from self-destructing. But many wrong decisions come from a position of weakness. When you ignore the authority, you challenge the authority, and you can eventually even harm yourself, go into mental illness, self-centeredness, selfishness, self-righteousness, and making many, many bad decisions. So the bottom line is this. You have to control what you think. You have to control what you do, or you're going to wind up being a slave to circumstances in your life. Self-pity, bitter, blaming all your hard times on somebody else. Arrogance makes an 18-year-old person think he's wise enough to handle life without any insight from his parents. That's stupid. So who does he go to for insight? Well, his little arrogant friends who are in the same boat. The innocent often suffer with the guilty being associated with someone else who makes a bad decision. Did you know that? Bad decisions limit future options. Stupid decisions get people hurt, as you've heard me say. So, man manufactures his own problems and resulting suffering. God manufactures the solutions and blessings in the middle of the suffering. The wrong decision to sin brings divine discipline. Rebound removes the discipline and restores the fellowship to God. That's just a little bit on volitional responsibility. God holds you accountable for your decisions. I hope you've been listening. I hope you've been paying attention. Because part of what may be going on in your life today is a series of bad decisions that have backed you into a corner and you see no way out. It starts with rebound. And then you go to renovating your thinking and acquiring the mind of Christ. The Word of God is the solution. The Holy Spirit gives you the power. And you use your volition to take the opportunity. Until next week, same time, same place. This is your host, Rick Hughes, here with the Flatline every Sunday morning, thanking you for listening and praying that you would come back and join us next week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 3504 or